I have been in the coral restoration since 1980 to now, it's like 45 years. If the forest is damaged, people will plant the trees. They will not put objects in the forest for the monkeys or for the deer to live in. If you want to restore forest, you plant trees. If you want to restore coral reef, you plant corals. You don't put materials there. Because any kind of material that is man-made, somehow, somewhere, there is destruction to the planet. And it doesn't make any sense to destroy one part of Earth to conserve the other part in the ocean. Coral conservation has to be organic like this. Then only we can see the results. We can see coral reef start to grow again. We have already lost like 70% of the coral reef in the world. People want to do something, but they lack of knowledge. So most of the time, they do something that is going to make it worse. And then they try to adopt the way like people in the aquarium is doing. Aquarium and the sea is not the same. In the aquarium, you have control of everything. You can control the temperature, you can control everything. You can't control these things in the ocean. We can see a lot of reefs starts growing back where it used to be very, very destroyed. And if you go there now, you can see young reef starts to come back again. The cycle has come back again. What we can do is to help speed up the process of the recovery. By planting, help to speed up the process. That is what I do.
Okay.
Okay.
We are live, like nearly live. Hello, welcome, beautiful community, everyone who is listening to this podcast or watching the podcast today. I give you a short introduction again about the beautiful person that I have here in this podcast today as a guest, Anwar Abdullah. He is an amazing personality. I got to know Anwar about 10 years ago. Anwar, it's 10 years anniversary that we know each other, more or less. And I was interviewing Anwar already two times. So we made already two podcast episodes together. But why do I make a third interview? Because, first of all, Anwar is an amazing person that has a big knowledge on coral propagation, on ocean conservation in general. And I want to bring that closer to our community, to you all, so you can get to know a little bit more about ocean conservation in general from professionals, not just like me coming with some information, but really professionals. And second, we are also supporting Anwar's NGO. The NGO is called Ocean Quest Global. And with Sanus Planet, we have been able to support. So far, we have been sending about 5,600 something euros or something like that. And two times we sent some support. And I'm really, really, really happy that we can do that. And my goal is, and I hopefully everyone who's listening today will hear why my goal is like that. My goal is to support this NGO much more because what they are doing is incredible. So that's what we will talk about now in this podcast. And I will get straight to the point. First of all, Anwar, it's amazing that you're here. Thank you so much for taking time again to share your knowledge with us. I know it's very late where you are. Where are you? You are in Singapore right now or in Malaysia?
No, I'm in Malaysia now.
Malaysia.
But the development for Ocean Quest Global, there is two things that happening. One is Ocean Quest Global Corporation. That's not my side.
Okay.
That's another side. Then it's Ocean Quest Global Foundation. That's where I am now. Yeah.
Right.
So
that's a good to know. So everybody who's searching for the project, Ocean Quest Global Foundation. Awesome. Anwar, can you, because like some of our community, they may not even know you yet at all. Some are already part of our community since a long time. They maybe have been following your work at least a little bit, but some might not know anything what you do. Can you a little bit share who you are, what you do, what you're working on?
Okay, let me share a little bit on my work, because I have been in the coral restoration field since 1980 to now, it's like 45 years already. So I've been here from not knowing anything about corals until now. I have my PhD, I have research, and I'm teaching people to become knowledgeable like me. Okay, so because understandable. Nobody lives forever. So at least there are future for coral restoration. So I do a lot of projects around the world, ranging from Southeast Asia to Maldives to Red Sea to French Polynesia, so French territory, and also to the Pacific side. Yeah. So soon I will also be in the Pacific side, like Saipan and Guam, those areas, which is American territories. Yeah. So there's many, many places. Why many places? Because my students literally is spread from all kind of nationality, from all regions of the world. So it is very expensive for them to come to me. And so what I do is I go to them. It's cheaper, then they can have a longer time, a longer period to work with me, so that I can teach them a lot of things. So normally when I work with any person or any project about corals, I will commit my time for 4 years with them. Not full time, but on and off, I will make sure that in 4 years I'm educating them, I'm teaching them the skill, and they grow corals. This is important. I teach the organic way of growing the coral reef. Okay. So I choose the organic way because I see this is the only way that if any change to the world to make it better in the coral reef is to grow the coral. Yeah. So a little bit about the history of conservation about coral. If you see, since 1940s, 1950s, when people already beginning to talk about coral conservation. So there's many, many, many conservation agencies, many conservation people doing this, doing that, about trying to make the coral. So given that long period, almost 80 years, we should have, humanity should have a location where they say, oh, if you want to see a coral restoration, there should be a place where you can see maybe 10 hectares or maybe 1 square kilometer of reef grown by human. But there's none. But there's none. Why? Because majority of them is not based on science. They're based on assumption, or they will throw something in the sea and they call it coral conservation. They put objects in the sea, which is not right. Yeah. For example, organically, forests. If the forest is damaged, people will plant the trees. They will not put objects in the forest for the monkeys or for the deer to live in. They will plant trees. Coral conservation has to be organic like this. So when it becomes organic, then only we can see the results. We can see coral reef start to grow again. Yeah. Yes, it is a lot of damage because humanity have failed to notice the damage for a long, long time. Yeah. Then now they have seen it. Now there are more scientists who start to know about this and they start to educate people.
Yeah.
And now is the time. But then we have already lost like 70% of the coral reef in the world.
70%,
yeah?
That's a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. But it is not impossible. Why? Because coral reef, they don't grow like forest. Maybe they grow like forest. If the forest, maybe if it's devastated, then there will come a young virgin trees, they call it. Virgin trees start to populate, and then bigger trees start to grow, and the canopy will hide the virgin trees. They will die out. They become a big forest. Okay? So they are transition. Coral reef is similar, but coral reef, they do in a more drastic way. Because reef, they grow in layers. So the bottom layer has to die out before the next layer to come up. So this has been going on and on and on the cycle for many, many thousands of years, right? So maybe now, besides the destruction, maybe it's a period that the coral reef actually is dying out. Then it will be a time where the cycle will change again. So like now, we can see a lot of reefs starts growing back. Like, for example, in Philippines, in Vietnam, where it used to be very, very destroyed. Places were very destroyed. And if you go there now, you can see young reef starts to come back again. The cycle has come back again. But what we can do is to help speed up the process of the recovery. We cannot create anything. No, no, that's impossible. But we can, by planting, we can help to speed up the process. That is what I do. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really amazing, because I have been, so for everyone who has never heard about coral propagation, I did not hear about that before I was doing it myself and learning it from you. I did not know that it's possible to plant corals. I really didn't know. I think that many people are so far away from coral, from the knowledge of coral reefs, that they cannot even understand how is that possible? How do you plant a coral? But it actually is possible, and it is amazing, and the coral reefs can grow and we can help it to grow. But the bigger impact that we can have is to not let it even die, or to help it to stay alive. That would be great, I think, instead of,
yeah,
like when we want to save the forest, to cut one forest down and then to plant other trees, to say, oh, we plant the trees. Well, better would be not to even cut the others down if possible, right? So
yeah,
it's always so hard that people even understand it is possible to grow them back. But the bigger impact is when we learn about the corals, how important they are and how we can protect them in the first place. How do you see that?
Yeah. Okay. There's a thing about coral reef that is similar to any environment. There's three things. Number one, if it's not broken, we don't fix it. We protect it, right? If it's not broken,
yes.
If the forest is not devastated, we protect it. But there are circumstances where they become broken or damaged. Because of the lack of knowledge, right? People want to do something, but their lack of knowledge. So most of the time, they do something that is going to make it worse, okay? Without the proper education about coral biology, for example, then people will take steps to try to grow coral in many different ways they can imagine. But those ways are not truly scientific ways, are not really scientific ways. And then they try to adopt the way the, like people in the aquarium is doing. It's not the same. Aquarium and the sea is not the same. Because like in the aquarium, you have control of everything. You can control the temperature, you can control everything. You can't control these things in the ocean. Okay. The only thing you can do is to first understand your subject, understand the coral in a way that is scientific, in a way that you know the biology of them, you know how they grow, you know how they reproduce, you know everything. Even chicken, if you want to grow chicken, you need to know about the anatomy and biology of that chicken to be a successful farmer, right? So it's the same with coral. But there is a problem because there is a lack of knowledge. This is what I am doing now. I'm trying to create as much as possible the education about coral so that people can start. People can take the right way to start. If they start the right way, then they will follow the right direction. If they follow the old way, they start it wrong. And they have been wrong direction all the time. That is why since 1945, 1950 until now, all the coral conservation, but you cannot see where in the world that people actually have, say, 1 kilometer or 1 hectare or 10 hectare of really a coral reef that human actually made? No. We do, but we have small places, many places. Yeah. This is why our reputation is growing, because people can see the result. They can see and touch and feel the coral reef, not a piece of iron or a piece of concrete or a piece of plastic structure. No, it's not 3D printed even, right? This is biologically grown coral. Yeah, this is what I do. I provide the education, I provide the science, I provide the skill development, and then I will supervise the project. Yeah.
And I love it so much how you have been growing in the last years, because 10 years ago, I learned directly also from you. We planted corals together. I learned how it works. Well, I was there for 2 months, so I learned what was possible in this short time. But your knowledge is so huge. It's so big and so much that I love that you pass it on and you work on this. You give courses online. It's kind of an academic course that people can do, which are studying biology, for example. They can make this course and learn how to be a coral propagation trainer in a really, really high quality way. I was able to participate in your first lecture. You allowed me in. And I must say, wow, this was really so much knowledge. And that was just the small surface of everything that you will teach the students in the next weeks. So I was really impressed and I love it. And you worked on so much educational material. So even if someone would listen right now to this podcast and says, I love this, I want to know more about this, I want to study this, do they have to study biology? Do they have to have something that they are even allowed to participate? What is the rule to participate in your courses? How does this work? Can everybody join? Yeah. How does
Okay.
that work?
I design my courses for the lowest education people, because these are the people who don't understand about the environment at all. So I design it starting from the lowest, from the easiest to learn, and then I build it up. So for people who are educated, for people who have some background already maybe, or pass a school in engineering or something, but wants to change into biology, they can also. They can start in many different ways, in academic way or in skill set. Skill set is how I teach the local people who are very low on education. So I teach them skill on how to grow the coral. So by learning the skill, they don't have the constraint of trying to learn academically, which they cannot, right? So it's a different approach for different kind of audience. Yeah, different audience, different kind. But I teach all level, from the very basic to the academic, the highest academic level. Literally, the course that I run now, the coral biology course, is equivalent to a degree, right? Because it's a 21-week lecture session, and it is really, really emphasis on the biology of coral. And not only that, coral is many things. And people are thinking that, oh, I'm just growing coral, one kind of coral. No, no. It's all kind of coral. In the family of corals that you have to list in the classification of coral, and in that classification, I teach everything inside there, whether it's soft coral or hard coral and a different kind. Because why? As environmentalists, you want to grow the environment. You don't want to grow a garden. If you want to grow a garden, then you pick the coral you like, right? But if you want to grow the environment, you have to be able to grow everything that is in that forest or in that coral reef, right? So this knowledge is scientific. The principle is same, but maybe the technique is different. But then, how do you design a new technique for a new kind of coral? This is how where the science go around. And people can become a coral rehabilitation specialist. They can teach other people, or they can become a disaster responder. When a disaster, say a typhoon, hit some reef in the Philippines, and the reef is badly damaged, normal people cannot comprehend. They cannot even think how to start. But for a coral rehabilitation specialist, they know the strategy. They know what to do. They know when to survey. As soon as the water is calm, safe, they go in the water and they survey, and they come up and they create a strategy, a plan. Because this is science. Science is systematic and truth. Anything that is false, science will prove it false. Anything that is true, science will prove it true, right? And how to do that, science will prove it in a system, right? Systematically. So this is what I teach. I am successful at growing coral because I do it systematically. Yeah, from I didn't know anything 45 years ago, I didn't know anything until today. Literally, the reason I grow is because I document everything and I learn from it. So the thing that failed, I don't throw it away. I will record it so that I know that if I do it that way, it will fail at a certain point, right? Then I will find a reason why to overcome, so I can create strategy and all these things.
Yeah,
it's about the science. So what I'm campaigning now is to get as many people to participate. Unfortunately, the people that I have right now are people who can afford the course, right? Who can afford the course. Many people from the poor community, they have children who are going to high school and they're bright, they're knowledgeable, but they don't get the opportunity because they simply can't afford travel to me to go and learn everything. And this is what I contribute. I contribute when I find underprivileged students, I will provide this education for free, right? So this is my contribution back. So for those who can afford, yes, I have to earn a living. I have to also finance my operation to grow coral, and I have to finance my research. Yes, I take a fee from those who can afford. But for a local community who cannot afford it, and they truly want to do it, and I can see their enthusiasm, and they want to do it, I will provide it for free. Okay, I will provide it for free. I even pay my own transport to go to them. I will go to them and help them. Because people is the problem, people is also the solution. Yes. If we don't make friends with these people, who are the mostly the problem, and then we don't find a solution. We have to go in that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I love you. I love your way of also creating alternative incomes, because in the end, if we break it down, people who might not be able to afford the coral propagation trainer to learn about coral propagation, but they really love the ocean, they want to contribute, they want to do something there and help, but they might not know how, because probably they have to go to work to just find a way to maybe get some food. They can now even, you help them to learn about it, you help them to teach them to plant corals, how to do it. They can pass this knowledge also on and get paid for it. So they can even make let's say a course for tourists. When tourists come and want to make holiday on the island and they want to do a nice afternoon and plant corals and learn about it, they can provide the course and get some money for it. So this is, in the end, for me, this is a beautiful example for what we want to support much more with Sanus Planet, because to just simply give donations, that's not the solution. If the donations are just given to a good feeling, and we need to know how is the money used, what does it create in the long term? And you create alternative incomes, and that is something on top of ocean conservation. It is conservation for a global for people. It's human rights. It is supporting people to have a living, and by creating a living at the same time supporting the ocean. This is the cycle of life that we need much more of. So thank you for that.
That's sustainability. This is why when we start Ocean Quest before in 2010, we are only a small social enterprise. We are a social enterprise before. But now we grow. Why we grow? Why we split into? Why, there is a Ocean Quest Global Corporation and the Ocean Quest Global Foundation. Why into? Because exactly we want to create a system where people can have career opportunity, meaning that they can work in this field. If they can work in this field and they can earn, they can sustain themselves, they can work for indefinite period of time. They don't have to go back to Europe to find money, to go find a job in a restaurant somewhere or in Switzerland or whatever. They don't have to. Because they, wherever they go, they have a career development plan for them. They can be working for a national park. They can be managing a conservation project. They can be a consultant, environmental consultant. They can be environmental educators. I was explaining it yesterday in the beginning of the course. Yeah. So there are 10 different. I offer 10 different kind of career opportunity for those who want to become a coral biologist, right? So when they become a coral biologist, they are rare. Their qualification is very rare. And therefore, for them to get career, a job, it's easy because there's no competition on, right? So
It's needed.
this is why. So when they become like that, then I can absorb them into my foundation. The reason we split into the corporation helps us to get funding, get funding, get funding, and push it towards the foundation. And the foundation will grow. I start to sponsor now internship students from universities, from Bremen, for example, in Germany, from Montpellier in France, from Southampton from UK, from Washington State University. I start to take interns, right? So to sustain the interns, we cannot expect them to pay like a customer, you know, but we want them to one day become our replacement, right? So obviously people grow old. At some point they will have to retire. When it's retired, there's people who are going to take this place. The future is still there. We have to create a future from now on. Yeah, this is what I'm doing now. I'm trying to build as many me as possible. I can teach them whatever I want. Whatever they want to know, I will teach them. Yeah. So, and then they will then one day take my place. Yeah. So, and therefore the initiative, the conservation effort will not die, will never stop. It will continue forever. And the science will never stop. It will continue to grow because now with technology, we have AI technology, we have 360, 3D imaging technology. We are using this for coral reef now. And that is why you see some machines at the back here. I have been 3D printing some devices to use underwater for research. Yeah, sometimes it's hard to find a tool for research. So we have to design and create one so that we can use. This is why all the machines at the back here, you can see.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really cool.
Yeah.
And I remember we two were talking once about, you know, that with Sanus Life, with the company Sanus Life, that creates some incentive trips for the community. So when the community reaches a certain level in the business topic, then they can also have an incentive trip. And I was talking to you, would it be possible? And I just want to say that because maybe one day that is what we want to do. I definitely want to plan that. But let's see when it comes that
Yeah.
the people that do incentive trips, that they also do stuff that is Sanus Planet related. And One is what we were talking about is with the elephants. So people come with me to the elephants in Thailand to support them. But another one could be the coral propagation. So would it be possible? Would you be okay with something like that? I just pushed that in the room because everybody who's listening is mostly from the community Sounders Life, and I can imagine they might think, "Wow, I want to learn about coral propagation." Would you be for up for
Yeah,
something?
okay. What we can do is we are now creating. Yesterday I mentioned something about model locations, like one model locations per country, like one in Malaysia, one in Philippines, one in Indonesia. This model location, we will find places that is easy to access, easy to reach, and then it's also sizable. That means the size of the model location is presentable. Like people can say, okay, I saw the stages of the different growth of coral. Because if you have a big size, you can have different stages of growth and people can see the development. It can be education, it can be ecotourism for the local community there. Yeah, because when we bring people from Europe to our location, our goal is for the people who visit, they will spend on food, on accommodation, on transportation by using the local services. Okay. And this will create two things. They will create a goodwill between us and the community. Our relationship will be much stronger. And it also create exposure for the people who visit. They will go back and they will tell story about this community. Yeah, they will gain more exposure. Yeah, and
Definitely.
that way, it is not a one-way thing. It's not like we go and we bring people and they spend money. The community gets something, but for the people, the takeaway for the people when they leave, they take away an experience that most people don't have, for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that is really something beautiful because then these people go home and talk about the coral propagation, coral restoration that they have been in part of this week, and then they will grow the idea of this is possible, and other people want to join too. So it's a really, really beautiful way. Hey, yesterday I made a short video with some beautiful footage that you sent me, and it's very, very it just happened yesterday. So when the podcast is out, probably 2 weeks before, in 2 weeks the podcast comes out. So what I want to say is you sent me some beautiful footage video because I asked you for some update and I made a short video. I will put this video shortly now into the podcast. So everybody who listens to the podcast can also, if you want and watch it on YouTube, you can watch the video, wait until the end of the podcast. I will add the video there. And also, I asked you for some numbers to put the numbers into the video. And there is something that you said because I asked you about, what do you think? Did you write down a little bit approximately how many corals have been broken or how many coral reefs are broken since the last years? How many people have you been teaching planting corals? How many people did plant corals with you? And how many corals did you plant? And all these numbers.
Okay.
You sent me some of these numbers. They are huge, so beautiful, good. Good work that you have done.
Okay.
So yeah, I give you the word. Yes.
Yeah. So, like for until this month, our number of volunteer since we start until today has reached more than 22,000 people. Yeah. That's
Amazing.
volunteer. And then the instructors, there are more than 6,000 instructors. Yeah. That means
Nice.
the knowledge is spreading to more and more people. Even though they don't plant coral, they go back to Europe, but they can teach others about the coral. Yeah. So this is a good number. But in the future, we want more people who are active in the field. This is why we want to create a sustainable way for them to come and work. And don't have to strain with budget and money and all this. We want them to be able to earn as they teach, right? Yeah.
That is really cool. And if we count this up, you said about 22,000 people that you reached as volunteers helping you to plant corals. You also gave me this number approximately, which might be a bit hard to say, but approximately between 25 and 50 corals per person what they planted. So everybody who's listening, count
Wow.
up. It's a lot of corals that you have planted and that you have been able to plant with people
Yeah.
together, and probably even more because I know you worked
Yeah.
45 years in this field. You plant so many corals. It's beautiful. So many coral
Yeah.
gardens. Can you take us a little bit also still on the journey of the change that you see in the reefs that you make? Is it, for example, is it in some reefs much easier than in others? Which reefs are easier to plant corals and where they stay alive, keep them alive? How does that work? How is this connected with the surroundings?
Yeah, it's not the same. Some places they are more difficult because there are challenges, and some places they are more easier. Yeah. Some in the Philippines, some of the coral reef, they are very healthy, right? But there's been damaged by storm, for example. But there's no pollutants. There's no mass tourism. There's no, the human factor is not there to damage them. So it's much easier to restore. But if you go to some places, for example, in touristic places, say example in Thailand, right, where thousands of people go snorkeling on the same reef and you are trying to do a conservation there, and there are human factors that you have to you have to think about the waste products. They pee in the water. They use a lot of sunscreen. Their boat is leaking oil. There's pollution from the resorts, everything. And then on top of that, we have this climate changing and water temperatures. And then in those places, we have to work harder in order to make a coral reef back. But in some places where they don't have the stress, then it's only the environment, then we can make it speed up much faster. Yeah. So it's different from place to place, it's different. It's all science. It's also science behind it. Yeah. Yeah.
And you said also there are other threats, like always the main cause for the problems, for the threat is people, us humans, because we do strange things that are not helping the reef. And like the pollution, like you said, and unregulated tourism and all of these things, what you wrote me as well, mismanagement of national parks, exploitation, bombing, illegal fishing, but also mining. You said that is something a new kind of a newer threat that happens in many places, like nickel mining. I think people don't even realize how destructive some materials that we are holding in our hands here in Europe, far away from the ocean, maybe even how much they are destructive for the ocean. I think many people don't know that. Do you have some insights, or do you want to share something? What people at my home, where there is no ocean directly around, what can we look for? Is there something?
Okay, one is that if they are going to participate in any kind of conservation work that is related to coral reef, the first thing they have must remember, don't go to places where they use material and put it in the ocean. Okay, example, I'll give you an example. Now, if you participate in concrete, making concrete and putting in the ocean, and the planet Earth is already under stress by people breaking the mountains to make cement for our homes, right? That is why architects is trying to reduce using concrete material. They're trying to reduce so that to not stress the planet, number one, it's more eco-friendly. Number two is getting more expensive because it's getting scarce. For example, to get good sand for building, it's all the rivers in the world are mostly devastated by just sand mining to make our home, to make the concrete. Imagine now if 70% of the coral reef in the world, which is about 300,000 square kilometers, is damaged. And this is about the size of South Korea. Okay. Now, if you want to make cement to replace it, to put it, you need to destroy somewhere on Earth about the size of South Korea. to put it, it's just simply not feasible. Okay, it's not feasible. It is not ethical because you can't destroy one environment and try to restore the other. That's not the way it works. Okay, so anything that relates to man-made material that is mined from the ground will have destruction. So if in that sense, if you want to restore forests, you plant trees. If you want to restore coral reef, you plant corals, right? If you want to restore mangrove, you plant mangrove. You want to restore seagrass, you plant seagrass. You don't put materials there because any kind of material that is man-made, somehow, somewhere, there is destruction to the planet. And then if you think of making it big, it's even more worse, right? So the bigger the project is, the bit, much more material you use from land somewhere, the bigger the destruction there. And it doesn't make any sense to destroy one part of Earth to conserve the other part in the ocean. Okay. So my message to people is that learn about what are the negative side of conservation. There are many conservation that is going on, but they are not scientifically researched. They are not ethical environmentally. Environmental ethics is very important. The environmental protection policy. Do the organization have environmental protection policy? Like us, we put our policy, environmental policy first. If it does not meet these standards, we don't do. We don't do. We will not override because of money or because of material, because of fame, because of anything. No. I have written the standards for OceanQuest Global that people cannot cross this line. Yeah, they cannot use this material, cannot use destructive way of doing things. Yeah. Animal experimentation, no. Something like that. Yeah.
That's
Yeah.
amazing. I can feel, I mean, everyone can feel and understand your values, and it's so beautiful that you go 100% for them. And I got to know you like this, and I still see you like this, and even more than 10 years ago. Like, I love it. Thank you so much, Anwar. Is there something you would
Yeah.
like to share with our community? We have been able so far to donate a little bit, but my goal, our all goal, is to support you much, much more. And that will come in the future. It still takes a little bit of time, but it will come. I know that. And is there something that you want
My
to share?
message is that, especially for the younger generation, if they are into nature, if they are into ocean conservation, and if they want to do coral reef, they are the one that I really want to target because they have a longer time ahead of them to be successful in this field. Yeah. My message is that if you have son or daughter or relatives who are young and they are interested in environment or ocean, yeah, you can introduce them to me. Yeah. My door is open. I don't have prejudice. I don't care what color you are, what size you are, what as long as you are a human being, you come from anywhere in the world, and you say, "Hey, I want to learn coral," I will teach you the same way. There's no difference. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I felt from the beginning on. You're open for everyone. You include everyone and you do the best you can to help also the local communities to gain something out of it. So they start to love to help you in the restoration of the corals because they first might see, oh, there might be also a possible work for us. And that is definitely great if people see it like that. But they all grow into it and start to love it at the same time and start to fall in love with the ocean at the same time. And all of this is a beautiful cycle. So I love the project. I'm very happy that we are supporting. I'm very happy that we are supporting on in future. And yeah, I can't wait, really, I have to say, Anwar, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to see you again in person to film for the documentary. You will be part of the first episode. So everybody who's listening, the documentary that I'm working on, series, takes a long time, but it will come out. And in the first episode, Anwar will be part of this. I hope to interview you and to come to the to wherever you are, probably to the Philippines, where I can film you again, and where we can hopefully also give the next donation already. That would be my big goal. So thank you so much for all of your work. Is there something that you want to share today that I didn't ask? I mean, there's so much we can talk about. There's so much you can give lectures for 20 hours just to talk about the polyp of the corals that have I've seen. You can talk hours and hours just for this little thing. But is there something that you think right now makes still sense that you want to share?
I think for me, I want to share most of the things that I have is knowledge of corals and ocean. That is all I can share. And this knowledge is universal. Universal means that the education is universal. Anyone has the desire to learn, they have the opportunity to one day take it one step further. This is what I'm offering. I'm offering knowledge, and then I'm offering a way for them to continue even further from what I have accomplished so far. This is what I will share.
Thank you so much, Anwar. Thank you for your hard work, for everyone that is involved in your work, everyone who's listening also. Thank you for helping Anwar to do this amazing work. And thanks to the community for everyone who was listening today. Thank you for being part of this so we can donate and support more. And now, at the end of this podcast, before I say goodbye, I just want to say now I will add this short video, 1.5 minutes. Watch it, stay in the podcast, listen and watch. No, listen, that's just music. So there's no one is talking, just music and video. So if you're not on the video podcast, jump into the video podcast and watch this short video, or jump into the Sanus Planet Telegram group. There you find all of the updates from NGOs as well. There I will definitely add it as well. Anyway, it's beautiful footage. Thank you for doing that and for sharing it with us, Anwar, and for being always so positive. You are amazing. I love it. Thank you so much. Bye,
Thank
everyone.
you.
Bye, everyone. Thank you
Bye.
for listening.
Bye.